From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Two movies opening this weekend offer proof that family films aren't what they used to be. Saving Mr. Banks offers a fresh look at the Disney classic Mary Poppins, and the new Hobbit movie, The Desolation of Smaug, is a state-of-the-art fantasy film. Here's critic Bob Mondello leaping from flying nannies to flying dragons.
Dwarves, elves, enchanted kingdoms, buried treasure. If everyone whistled while they worked, this would be Disney kid flick territory, no? But no, this is Middle Earth.
Death is upon you. The flames of war are upon you.
Yeah, not so much, actually. But with director Peter Jackson's gift for what I'm starting to think of as theme park filmmaking, adventure still lurks round every thousand-foot cliff. And there don't seem to be any other kind in Middle Earth. For The Desolation of Smaug, Jackson's devised an orc-dodging water ride, a giant spiderweb forest ride, a chutes and ladders castle ride, and an impressive main attraction, the Dwarf Treasure Hunt ride, on which Bilbo Baggins finally meets the fire-breathing dragon of the title.
The tales and songs fall utterly short of your enormity, O Smaug, the stupendous.
Don't be shy. Step into the light.
Benedict Cumberbatch is a supremely full of himself dragon, and Martin Freeman, a resourceful, if shambling, Bilbo. If you've seen them on TV's Sherlock, you'll recognize they have roughly the same relationship as Holmes and Watson. The Desolation of Smaug has to raid the Hobbit novel's appendix to fill 2 hours and 40 minutes with these middle chapters, but the effects are as grand as ever, and the pace has picked up enough that fans won't feel desolate at all, even when Smaug is acting a lot like a trailer for the next Hobbit movie. Speaking of which, there was a real danger that Disney's Saving Mr. Banks would end up feeling supercalitraileristic. It is, after all, the backstory of a Disney classic, and it's arriving just before the 50th anniversary of that classic. Happily, Saving Mr. Banks has some spark of its own, chiefly because there's friction from the moment the smiling Disney team meets Emma Thompson's amusingly abrasive children's author, P.L. Travers.
Creator of our beloved Mary
Poppins.
Who else?
Mary Poppins. Never, ever just Mary. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh,
well. Fear we shan't be acquainted for very long.
Why is that?
Because these books simply do not lend themselves to chirping and prancing. No, certainly not a musical. Now, where is Mr. Disney? I should so much like to get this started and finished as briskly as is humanly possible. Perhaps someone could point me in his direction.
She is what my mother used to call a pill, but she's up against Uncle Walt, played by Tom Hanks, as a man who's not used to hearing no, and not averse to using a whole lot more than one spoonful of sugar to get what he wants.
Oh, my dear gal, you can't imagine how excited I am to finally meet you.
All the charm in the world, though, only gets Travers into the room with the creative team. It does not make her a team player.
Responsible's responsible. Now, how does that sound?
No. Responsible is not a word.
We made it up.
Well, unmake it up.
Flashbacks to Travers' childhood in Australia, where her adoring but alcoholic father couldn't keep his job as a bank manager, explain why she would not want changes made to the bank's household that Mary Poppins whips into shape.
I won't have her turned into one of your silly cartoons.
Says the woman who sent a flying nanny with a talking umbrella to save the children.
You think Mary Poppins has come to save the children? Oh, dear.
Saving Mr. Banks is pretty on the nose with its psychological observations, and director John Lee Hancock lets it get awfully sweet by the end. You'll have to look elsewhere to discover that Travers remains so unfond of the movie that in her 90s she granted stage rights to the character only on the condition that no one associated with the film could be involved. She reportedly even put a clause in her will banning Disney from making a sequel. But Saving Mr. Banks is the studio side of this story, a carefully calibrated crowd pleaser where that sort of rough edge gets sanded away. I imagine if the filmmakers had tried to introduce too much real-life antagonism, they'd have been told to go fly a kite. In the nicest possible way, of course. I'm Bob Mondello.